Gemara tells us in Masech Sanhedrin that unlike all the other bitzes at Torah, where the all the halachas are governed by Bechai Behem, there are three exceptions to that rule. Those are the three big ones, the Yehori Vayavars, Avodah Zarah, Gilurayas, and Shvichas Domim. So how do we know that these three dinim are true? So the Gemara says that Avodah Zarah is derived from a pasuk of V'chol Nafshecha, as we mentioned yesterday, Afilu Hum Neitel Es Nafshecha. So Avodah Zarah per se is Yehori Vayavar. How do you know the other two? So the Gemara has a very, very strange makor for the din of Shvichas Domim. The Gemara says Shvichas Domim is not really a pasuk, it's a svara. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kama and Fir Perech Lamli Kros Svaru, if something is a very, very compelling, convincing Svara, so then that takes on the status of being a Din D'Oraisa. What's the grandiose Svara that Shvichas Domim is Yehor V'Yavor? Gemara says, "My Chazis to Dami Dach Sumuk Tvei Dim Adam Nadu Gavra Sumuk Tvei." We're not going to say it every time, the whole phrase. Just say "My Chazis." It means, namely, how do you know that your blood is redder than the others? How do you know your life is more valuable than the other person's life? Therefore, you have no right to kill another person even to save your own life. And then the Gemara says, "And how do we know the Gili Arai?" He says, Yehor V'Yavor, that's a hekesh, because the Torah in Parashat Kiseit say, in the Parash of Rodev, part of the Parash of Rodev, the Torah compares the din of Kikashe, Akumur, Isher, Eo, Tzachon, Nefesh, Gedadov, Arzeh, the Torah compares the din of Gilead Arayas to the din of Ritzicha. So earlier in the summer, we said that served as the suas, that Moshiela, that just as a din of Chayav Loshia by Gilead Arayas, so too does a din of Chayav Loshia by Ritzicha. And now we're going backwards, and we're saying that just as by Ritzicha there's a din of Yehor V'Yavor, so too there's a din of Yehor V'Yavor by Gilead Arayas as well. So when all the dust settles, we have three dinim, three different Mekairas for the basic three dinim of Yehor V'Yavor. So today's Shia, we're going to hopefully try to analyze a little bit this Svara of my Chazis, because this is important both in terms of Ritzicha, and it also spins off the din of Gilead Arayas. So everything is revolving around this idea of Bechazis. So it behooves us to spend a little bit of time understanding what in the world Bechazis is, what are the parameters of it, when it does, when it perhaps doesn't apply. So Tosfos has a very, very famous comment about Bechazis. Tosfos has it in our sugya, Tosfos has it in Maseches Pesachim as well, Maseches Yuma, that Tosfos says that Bechazis basically is a nice, very fancy way of saying Shevel Tasa. It means that you can't make a decision. There's no way for you to judge whose life is more important, and therefore you have to be shevel tasa. You have to sit back and let whatever happens happens. Therefore, if somebody says to you, if you either pull the trigger on the other guy, you kill the other guy, I'm going to kill you, I can't make a decision. No decision made, and therefore shevel tasa. If I get killed, I get killed. That's the way it is. But says Tosis, that same svara of shevel tasa sometimes can work to save your life. What would that mean? So Tosis depicts the following illustration. What would it be if you are asked, in a sense, to kill somebody by not doing a ma'isa? You're going to kill somebody, you're going to do what's called an isser v'tzicha, albeit it's going to be done through sheval tasa. How do you have such a case? It's kind of hard to envision such a case. So Tosis is a very, very creative about it. Tosis, they can't put the case that somebody comes up to you and says the following: either we're going to tie you up and toss you onto this baby, and by doing so, that's going to chalila kill the baby, or if you don't, it'll cooperate in a sense, so then we're going to kill you. So Taisa says, what's the din? What's the halacha? Am I mechuyev to be ma'isa nefesh? Am I mechuyev to put up a fight? Am I mechuyev to step my feet? Am I mechuyev to start fighting with the guy and say, no, don't you dare and tie me up, and boom, I'm going to get killed for that? Is that a din of Yehor V'Yavor? So Taisa says, no, there's no Yehor V'Yavor in that one. Even though it's true that I am going to kill the baby, and even though Tosfos is assuming what I'm doing is an act, is, I didn't say an act of Ritzicha, it's an Isser Ritzicha. So I'm going to be in gross, flagrant violation of Ritzicha, not all that different than the person who pulls the trigger, but since my violation of Ritzicha is going to be done through the medium of Sheva Al-Taseh, so Sheva Al-Taseh says, don't do anything. When the person says, either let us tie you up and throw it out to the baby, or we're going to kill you, I say, do whatever you want. My hands, I put my hands behind my back. I'm done, finished. You do whatever you want. Ich bin shevel tasa. So Taisa says, you can do that. Why? Because you can almost turn the svar on its head and say, my chazis to dama dao gavra subuk tvei, dama didi subuk tvei. Maybe my blood's redder than the other guy's blood. So you see from Taisa's that the whole idea of my chazis is just simply a statement of, it's a suffix, it's a non-resolvable doubt as to whose blood is red. There's no way to make such an assessment. And therefore, the halacha dictates in all circumstances that to be shevel tasa. Sometimes shevel tasa costs me my life, sometimes shevel tasa saves me my life. It is because of this understanding of the Balei HaTosfos that they went now one step further and said, we can extrapolate from this principle to the realm of Gidei Arayis as well. Because let's not forget, the whole Mokor that Gidei Arayis is Yehar Yavor is the same story, is the same source, because it's ultimately all hinging on Shvichus Damim. So just as in the realm of Shvichus Damim, the din is that I'm not mechuyev to give up my life derech shev al ta'aseh because my chazus doesn't require that of me. So too in the realm of Gilei Arayis, if I am asked to violate Gilei Arayis in the realm of shev al ta'aseh, in the manner of shev al ta'aseh, I would not be mechuyev to give up my life for that. What would that mean? What's the case? Give me a scenario. So it's a very, very simple scenario. A woman. A woman is always shev al ta'aseh. Why? Because she is always the passive person. She's not doing an active anything. She is violating, quote unquote, the yis of Gilei Arayis. When the woman violates Gilei Arayis from her vantage, what's the same aver? She's had the same car, she's had the same mises based in as the man is. But since the Gilei Arayis is being done derech sheva al ta'aseh rather than kumvaseh, there is no din of Yehar v'Yavor. That's because of this that Tosfos says. When the Gemara makes a blanket statement that Gilei Arayis is Yehar v'Yavor, so you have to get your diktuk right. Yehar v'Yavor, but not Tehorig v'lo ta'aseh. If a woman would come and ask a shayla, Rabbi, the person gave me a choice. Either he's going to kill me or he's going to be mezana with me. So I would say, he'll be mezana with him. Well, you don't lose anything because it's shevel tasa anyway. So shevel tasa, one is never mechuyev to give up one's life to the if the aveira is being done through the mechanism of shevel tasa, because ultimately it's derived from ritzicha. And just as by ritzicha we have to be mechalik between kumaseh versus shevel tasa, because that's what mechazus is all about. So too by Gilei Arayis there would never be a din of yehar v'yava from the woman's vantage point. So consenting doesn't mean anything. Consent, as long as she doesn't do anything, as long as she stays passive, doesn't do any action, that's okay.
Even though she's actually
agreeing is not, that's not called an action. So Tosfos then says, do we really mean to say that there's no din ever of Yehar v'Yavah for a woman? So by Gilei Arayis. So Tosfos says maybe there would be if it's Mevia Erva Love, if she actively does something, she literally turns around and does the Maisabiyah, so to speak, so then that would be the one exception to this rule. But by and large, normally we can hide behind the fact that she shaved out Tasa. What led Tosfos to say this? What prompted Tosfos to say such a Chiddush? So what prompted Tosfos to say that Yehar v'Yavah doesn't apply basically to the woman under normal circumstances was the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Hopefully, we'll see how long this call continues, but if we get to the next two or three sugyas down the line. So there's a very, very famous Gemara. When the Gemara asks the question, after the Gemara develops the idea that other Averis that are done before Hesia, or Yehar v'Yavar, the only time we differentiate between the Gimel Averis and other mitzvahs in the Torah, that's if it's Betzina. But if it's before Hesia, everything is Yehar v'Yavar. So the Gemara asks the famous question, Esther for Hesia Havya, how in the world could Esther live together with Achashverosh, even though her life was at risk? She couldn't quite tell Achashverosh that she wants out, he would have killed her. So the Gemara says, doesn't matter, it's Yehar v'Yavar, Esther for Hesia Havya. So all the Rishonim above with the question, why does the Gemara phrase the question in such a weak way? For Esther, for Hesia, but the Gemara should have asked, forget about for Hesia, Esther, Gilei Arayis, why was it Gilei Arayis? For multiple reasons. One reason is that maybe just Stam Bia with an Akum, maybe that Gufa called Gilei Arayis, Stam Tu Mizana with a Goy. Or maybe it was significantly worse, because the Gemara Megillah says that Esther was actually married to Mordechai, Atikul Abasa Labayis, so that would be a potential issue of Losina for Eishes Ish. So all the Rishonim are bothered with, why didn't the Gemara ask the much more powerful question of Esther Arayis Havya? Why did they ask such a powerful, low, toned-down question of Esther for Hesia Havya? So Lo Chaser answers to this question. That's really a whole sugya. Hopefully we have time for next week. But one of the answers that's given to this is Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the name of the Rivam, that the answer to this question is as follows, that the Gemara Taka never asked the question by Esther Arayis Havi, because mitam Gilei Arayis there would not have been a requirement for her to be Moshe Nefesh, because it was Shev Al Tasa, based on Mechazes. The only thing the Gemara was bothered with, Afal Bichain, it's still not right, it's still she's doing something wrong, it's still an Aveira, it's not Gilei Arayis in the sense of it's no Kumbi Asayev Gilei Arayis, but it's still a terrible thing, and that terrible thing was taking place before Hesia, so Taka Esther for Hesia Avia, so that was the Kash of the Gemara, to which the Gemara gives two answers, and again, hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So Tosfos has this whole Megillah, no pun intended on that one, but I didn't really mean that, but this whole story about how the fact that the Gemara didn't ask the question that it should have asked, is a raya that sometimes Yehar v'Yavah doesn't apply, and it doesn't apply when it's Shevel Tasa. And the mokra for that whole idea being is ultimately derived all the way back from Ritzicha. That's how Tosfos presents the sugya. It all revolved around the phrase Mechazes. Mechazes just means act in a way that's not acting, namely remain Shevel Tasa. So Reb Chaim, in his Chedushim in the Rambam, it's the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer, in the Chesedi HaTorah, Reb Chaim points out that it wouldn't appear from the Rambam that this is the case. The Pashas in the Rambam does not make any mention whatsoever in Perkei, in the Chesedi HaTorah, when he goes to the details of Yerba Yavar, he does not highlight the fact that there's any difference between Shev Yatasa and Kum Yaseh. He doesn't make it, the Rambam's writing a Sefer Halacha. The Rambam writes in his introduction to Mishnah Torah that if you have Mishnah Torah, you don't really have to look at any other Sefer. You could, any Shah that could ever come up in your life, just if you know where to find it, you got a good index, so you could find it in Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam is answering for all people, the Deiri Deiris, who are going to ask Yehar Vayavar Shailas. So if the Rambam held like this, that Yehar Vayavar doesn't apply to half the population, shouldn't have behooved the Rambam to say that? Shouldn't the Rambam have said that, by the way, when I told you Gilei Arayis is Yehar Vayavar, that's only for men, not for women? The Rambam doesn't say that. So the Pashas that Dvarim in the Rambam is that the Rambam didn't buy into this Rivam. The Rambam had a different answer to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, why it doesn't ask from Esther Gilei Arayis. So why didn't the Rambam buy into Tosis? Reb Chaim says, the Rambam and Pashas didn't buy into Tosis because he didn't buy into the whole model of Tosis by the baby also. He didn't buy into this idea that if you do an act of Ritzicha b'shev al Tasa, so that's not Yehar v'yavar. Like, mecha Tosis, v'shtei Tazoi. Tosis made it up, v'shtei Tazoi. So Reb Chaim goes on to explain why Tosis should be right or why the Rambam should be right. What exactly is going on here? That Tosis has this whole model of killing b'shev al tasa, that's not Yehar v'yavar, it's not covered by mechazis, and the Rambam doesn't seem to buy into this entire picture. So Reb Chaim develops the following yisoid, that you can really understand the din of mechazis fundamentally in two different ways. So is the pshat of mechazis that it's a stalemate? That's the way Tosis understood it. It's mamash a stalemate. Just, you know, there's no way to be mechriya, whose life is more important, and therefore hilcha shev al tasa kicks in. There's no other way to pasken a shayla other than just saying a Sheva Tasa. Is that all that Mechazis means? Or does Mechazis mean something else? Mechazis means that because of the Svar of Mechazis, the entire Heter of Pikuach Nefesh doesn't apply to the Isra of Ritzicha. That means that because of Mechazis, not just Mechazis, just a practical, technical way that you have to be Noeg and not be Noeg, but Mechazis is the rationale to tell me that Ritzicha is the exception to the rule of a Chaybehem. Why should that be? So Rashi seems to say that in our very sugya. Rashi says, what is it about the Chaybehem? Why is it that the Torah gives us this halacha of a Chaybehem? Isn't Shmir Shabbos very, very important? Isn't not eating Yom Kippur very, very important? Isn't Chomes Pesach very, very important? All the mitzvahs of the Torah very, very important. So why does the Torah say a Chaybehem? So the answer is because Nefesh Yisrael is more important. Your Kachaviv Lefanav, Yikari Lefanav, the Rambam is called Lushainis, that the Chavivos of a Nefesh, Achas Yisrael, that the significance of one life is so powerful, so that Rabban Hashem is willing to be Mevater and Kol HaTorah Kula for one life is such a Davar Yokar Ad Me'oid in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an important message for us to remember when sometimes we get bombarded and we hear certain messages that are coming from the media and other places about it's only, we have to take it into consideration, it's only a few lives, it's not so many lives, and the other things are also important. Other things are very important, no question about it, but lives are more important than other things. And we should just reinforce that Chaviv Nefesh Achas Yisrael, that Shabbos is also important, Yom Kippur is also important, Chomes Pesach is also important, and Nefesh Achas Yisrael is even more important. So when if the whole idea of Pikuach Nefesh of Chaybehem is to preserve life, when it comes to Ritzicha, you're in a little bit of a pickle, because Ritzicha, someone's going to die. Either you're going to die or the other guy's going to die. So at the end of the day, we're going to end up with one live person, one dead person. So if you end up with a dead person anyway, so then why should you violate Yisurim? Why should you violate Averis? The only matter to violate Averis is to preserve life. But if Balav Ochi, you're not preserving life. You're preserving your life, not his life. But we don't know how to measure life. So if Lu Yitzuyu, we had some kind of barometer to say my life's more important than the other guy's life, then we could say, well, my very important life is more important than his life, and therefore it's more important than the Yisur Ritzicha. But since there's never a way to measure which life is more important, so Mamela, we're in a little bit of an impasse that we're going to lose a life anyway, so don't violate Yisurim. The starting point in Allah is don't violate Yisurim. So if that's what the Rambam is driving at also, that the Isser of Lo Sirtzach is not Nita to Dechia. It's a funny kind of an Isser that's not Nita to V'chai Behem. There are certain mitzvahs of Torah that may just not lend themselves to V'chai Behem. Like the Moshe, there's a whole discussion in the Minchas Chinuch about whether the mitzvah of Milchama lends itself to V'chai Behem. It's a funny kind of a shayla, because on the one hand there's a pasha of Milchama, and when you do Milchama, you put your life at risk. People are going to die going out to war. So why do you say V'chai Behem trumps Milchama? Don't go out to war because of V'chai Behem. So there are some mitzvahs that somehow don't meet the bottle of V'chai Behem. So it could be that Ritzicha doesn't, and say Milchama is, or is not, I'm not Milchama right now. But V'chai, I'm sorry, Losirtzach is not a kind of a mitzvah that lends itself to V'chai Behem, because by definition someone's going to die. So if that's the case, so then, not like Taisa said that, we're not sure what to do, we don't know, should we pull the trigger, should we not pull the trigger, should we let ourselves be thrown the baby, not thrown the baby. So therefore we have no choice, we close our eyes, put your hands behind the back and hope for the best and do nothing. That's not the pshat, according to the Rambam. The pshat is that whenever there's a violation of losirtzach, losirtzach is not nita l'dechia. There is no heter. The parasha of chaybim doesn't apply to losirtzach. If that's the case, then the parasha of chaybim doesn't apply to losirtzach. Whether losirtzach is violated, b'kuvaseh v'halav b'shivatase. If at the end of the day I'm violating losirtzach, if what I'm doing is called an averis losirtzach, so then tough luck, so then I have to lose my life for it. It doesn't matter whether I'm violated b'kuvaseh v'shevel tase. So since the Rambam holds that the whole model of Tosfos is not right, by that distinction between shevel tase v'kuvaseh is just not correct, then obviously it's not going to spill over to Gilui Raos. The whole chiddush of Tosfos by Gilui Raos was an extension of the Ritzicha. But if the Nafleisa Naflabinyan, if the Rambam undermines the entire model by Ritzicha, of course it's not going to have any relevance vis-a-vis Gilui Raos. So then Reb Chaim has a turnaround. Comes Reb Chaim and says that if that's the case, so then would the Rambam disagree with Tosfos' case? L'maisa, if somebody came and asked the Rambam, should I have myself killed or should I let myself be thrown onto the baby? What would the Rambam say about that topic? So l'chora, the Rambam would say, tough luck, you can't let yourself get thrown on the baby because you're going to be a rotzech. I a rotzech b'shev al tasa, you're still a rotzech. So Reb Chaim says, no, he doesn't think the Rambam would disagree with that. Not for Tosfos' reason. Tosfos says the guy who's thrown onto the baby is a rotzech, but he's a rotzech b'shev al tasa, and therefore it's not your harva yavar. No, if you would be a rotzech, even if it's a rotzech b'shev al tasa, then you would have to give up your life. The vort, says Reb Chaim, is the Rambam would agree to Tosfos' case for lav b'tabal de balei Tosfos. The Rambam would agree because you're not a Ritzeach altogether. Because you're a Cheftzer. You're not a Gavra. You're not a Ritzeach. You're a bullet. You're a stone. When somebody throws you off the roof and you land on a baby, you're not the Ritzeach. He's the Ritzeach. You're the bullet. You're the Cheftzer. So you're not. That's not Ritzeach altogether. It's Ritzeach from the thrower's point of view, not from the throwee's point of view. So you have to be careful. A gavra is not always a gavra. Sometimes a gavra becomes a chefta. Sometimes a chefta becomes a gavra. You have to figure out. You know, who remembers the joke? You know? No one remembers the story. Zach, you don't remember the story about the gavras and the cheftas? Oh, come on, that's a story. Okay, we'll share a little lighter end there. This story goes back to the first Gulf War. Back to, where are historians? 1991. You know, Jeremy, don't remember? Osh, you don't remember the story? No, Jeremy?
No, I don't know.
Jeremy, who's the star in the story, remember?
The guy in the back of the basement.
There you go, okay. So, Maisa Shrekachoya. It was back in January, the first Gulf War, back in 1991. I don't, most of you guys, none of you guys weren't even born then, right? How many years ago was 1991? 30 years. None of you guys were born then. My goodness gracious. Okay, that's old. Okay, so a few guys, it was in the middle of winter break, and a few of us were sitting in the base medrash, and the guard would come like at 12 o'clock at night or something, like to turn off the lights. And the yeshiva didn't want the lights to be on the whole night. So the old base medrash, we learn in the mornings. So they came at 12 o'clock at night. So the bachram, the handful of guys were still around, got very annoyed. You know, hey, go ahead and close the lights. Keep the lights off another hour. What's the big deal? So they were arguing the guard or something. So, again, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. So Hashem, whatever. But, this guy's shepherding the guard. And the guard said, no, on my way. He told me I got to close the lights. I closed the lights. I know some guy got a little sikhsuk. So I got him with one of the security guards. I'm not advocating that behavior. So one of the bachurim in yeshiva who got frustrated, so he, you know, he like throws him down, and he said, that guard, he's not a gavra. That was like his biggest like insult. You're about to say, he's not a gavra. The guard was a nice guy. I don't know why he was so tight to this guy. The guy's not a gavra. So in the back of the Beis Medrash, there was a Rabbi Ashen. Anyone remember Rabbi Ashen? Some of the old timers, Avi, remember him? Remember, ready. See, Chaval the Avdon. Rabbi Ashen was a legend in the Beis Medrash. He lived on campus. He was around for 50, 60 years. I don't know how many years he's been around now, but he needs a Refuah Shleima now. Whatever it is. So he doesn't live in the Heights anymore. He moved somewhere else. So he was a legend in the Beis Medrash. He was there day and night. All hours. He used to be the Mashkiach in the cafeteria for many years. And all kind of a sea. He worked for the OU. He was a very, very colorful, fascinating personality. So he was sitting in the back of this marriage, 12 o'clock at night, and he hears this yeshiva guy, rank out the guard, but saying, he's not a gavra. So he could hear his mumble. Again, there were three guys always marriage, so he mumbled at the top of his lungs, a chevtza oichet nit. That was the, for those who don't know, that means he's not even a chevtza. That was the biggest rank out. Like, to tell a guy, you're not a gavra, you're not even a chevtza. That was like the ultimate of ultimate rank out. It's a good thing the guard didn't know what a gavra was. He didn't know what a chevtza was. He didn't understand what was going on. So yeah, I'm not advocating insulting anybody, even with gavras and cheftas, but it just highlighted the humor in the Beis Medrash was, all three guys was reached a plateau at that point. Okay, back to that story. I remember that week, it was the time when they were shooting missiles into Tel Aviv, and Haifa, from Iraq. They thought it was chemical warfare. The whole world, the whole Jewish world was in total turmoil. So again, we had like three guys sitting in the Beis Medrash in the middle of January then. So somebody walked into the Beis Medrash and announced that who knows what's going to be next. The whole world, the whole Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The chemical warfare, so there's a pachad, a nerve in the air. So he announced that we're, now we're laughing, then it wasn't so funny. He said, we're going to recite together, all three guys there, we're going to recite Tehillim Kuf Yutes, which is the longest Tehillim, that's eight psukim. And he said, and the schus of the Torah of Tehillim Kuf Yutes, that's going to save the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. So some other guy in the back of his bed snarled and said, maybe if we learned for a few minutes and saying Tehillim Kuf Yutes for the next hour and a half, that would also be a little bit of schus of Torah. Why can't we just say Shemalos? So they were finding out which Tehillim to say. Anyway, the lighter end of winter's man of intercession during wars back in 1991. Okay, back to our story. So what are we talking about? Gavras Cheftas. Yeah. So Gavras Cheftas. So the bottom line is, Reb Chaim says that the Rambam would agree fundamentally to the din of Tosfos, but Labi Tamai of the Balei Tosfos. So at one point we have a major machlokes, we are raging between Tosfos and the Rambam about what is Mechazis telling me? Is Mechazis telling me that Shevel Tasa? Is Mechazis telling me that that the Isser of Ritzich is not Nita to Dechiyah? So Reb Chaim is a fascinating riot to support the Rambam. There's a riot from a very, very famous Gemara, the Gemara in the beginning of the fifth pack above Metziah. The Gemara is commenting on the Pasuk B'chei Achicha Imach. Why is the Gemara talking about the Pasuk in Ezu Neshech? Because B'chei Achicha Imach is the Mokah that if you took ribbis, you have to return the ribbis. That's a machlokes in the Gemara, but we pass you have to return the ribbis B'chei Achicha Imach. So the Gemara says that there's another possible drasha derived from B'chei Achicha Imach. That's the famous din of Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, get a sign, the Gemara quotes a braisa, that Shnaim Shoy Mahalchim and Midbar, two guys walking in the desert, and they only have one pitcher of water. And if they both drink it, so they're not going to survive. So what do you do? So I have the pitcher of water. So what do you do? So the Gemara quotes the Ben Petura. Ben Petura was one of the Tanoim, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. So Ben Petura said that I cannot drink the water. Even though by not drinking the water I'm going to die, I cannot drink the water. Why? Because by drinking the water, I'm in effect facilitating bringing about the death of the other person. The other person's not going to have the water to drink. So what do? What I do with the water, I split it with him. We hope for the best. We may both end up dying. I do not have a right to drink that water, knowing full well that by my drinking the water, that's going to bring about the death of the other person. Achibara b'kiva v'limer. B'kiva says, no, it's not true. I'm allowed to drink the water, because chayecha kaidmin, that I'm not mechuyev to give up the water, I'm not mechuyev to share the water, I'm allowed to drink the water myself. Chayecha kaidmin. Chayecha imach. Imach means with you, but you come first. So what exactly was the view of Ben Petura? We usually don't spend too much time on Ben Petura. We usually focus on Akiva. That's how we pass. And Rabbi Akiva, what did Ben Petura think exactly? So Reb Chaim explains, Ben Petura must have held as follows. Ben Petura must have held that my drinking the water, which will indirectly, albeit indirectly, bring about the death of somebody else, that's like an extension of Ritzicha. That means I am, it's a goyim, the goyim of Ritzicha, but that's also like a shtickel Ritzicha. The Rambam writes in the Ritzach that there's a Ritzach biadayim, then there's a Ritzach there, a grama, that if I kill somebody in an indirect way, I'm still a Ritzach. If I figure out a kunz, I set up a whole system that kills somebody through a Kach Sheni, not through a Kach Rishon. So if I kill somebody there, Kach Sheni, so that's not considered to be a Ritzach. I'm not going to have a misa for that, but I'm still a Ritzach, and I'm going to be punished in Shemana like a Ritzach. So that's what Bepatura seemed to say, that I'm also, in a sense, bringing about somebody's death. It's very, very indirect. Not only am I not pulling the trigger, I'm not even setting up a klisheni, a kersheni. I'm not giving him my water. So Bepatura seemed to understand that's also considered to be included in the parasha of Ritzicha. And therefore, it's Yarva Yavor. I cannot drink the water, knowing full well my drinking the water is going to take away the life of somebody else. Why is that? Why did Ben Batura say that? I, but it's Sheval Taseh. I'm not doing anything to you. I'm drinking the water, and then Mamele are going to die. Why isn't that labeled the Sheval Taseh? So says Reb Chaim, Zaman from Doi, you see from Ben Batura Shita, that even Ritzicha Derech Sheval Taseh is a problem. That Nichlal in the din of my Chazes says that Ritzicha Shvichas Damim doesn't lend itself to v'chayba. I'm finished. End of discussion. So if Ben Petura thought that my drinking the water is a shtickle part of the Issur Ritzicha, so I understand full well why it's not shaykh to be matter it. So that's all very nice going to Ben Petura. We don't follow Rabbi Ben Petura. We follow Rabbi Akiva. So what did Rabbi Akiva mechadesh? Rabbi Chaim says Rabbi Akiva was mechadesh that when I don't give you the water, not only is that not Ritzicha, that's not even a grab Ritzicha. That's a nothing. That's a lack of hatsala. Let's say, for example, if I'm walking by and I see a guy drown, I'm a crackerjack lifeguard. I don't know how to swim very well. I see a guy drowning, and I don't want to bother myself. I don't feel like getting wet right now. I've got other things to take care of, and I let the guy die. I'm not a ritzech. I'm not a ritzech b'yadayim. I'm not a ritzech edeg rama. You know what I am? I didn't fulfill the bitzat Torah. But solo, I violated losam al adam reyach. That I violated. Let's say I'm a doctor. I know how to save a guy. I see a guy having a heart attack, and I'm busy right now. I have other things to do right now. I don't save the person's life, so I'm in gross violation. Losam al adam reyach. But I'm not a ritzeach. Again, I'm not going to mention shemayim what the onus is going to be meted out for losam al adam reyach. But it's not ritzicha. So comes Reb Chaim and says, when Rabbi Akiva was mechadesh, that my drinking the water and not sharing the water with you, that's not Ritzicha Bechlal. That's not Shri Chazan Bechlal. Not a shemitz of Ritzicha. And therefore, it's not nitan to the dinim of Bechazes. Don't do Bechazes. So it's a different parasha. It's a parasha of Hatzolah. So what are the halachas that govern Hatzolah? V'cheyachich imach, chayecha koidmin. That I'm allowed to take care of my own life first. I'm not mechuyif to give up my life in order to save your life. So that's a prat in Hatzolah. So if I have the opportunity to save your life without giving up my life, that I'm mechuyif to do. But to give up my life to save your life, I'm not mechuyif to do. That was the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva. Then there's a further shaila. Then there's a later discussion in Poskim, a very important shaila, very critical important shaila about, am I mechuyif to risk my life to save your life? So to give up my life, mamash, to save your life, that was the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva, I'm not mechuyif to do. To actively take your life, that everyone agrees you're not allowed to do. Am I mechuyif to put my life at risk in order to save your life? So I know for a fact your life, you're for sure going to die. If I do nothing, you're for sure going to die. Am I mechuyif to do something radical that could potentially put my life at risk? Let's say, for example, I see you drowning, and I'm not the best swimmer. I'm not so great. And I may, chas v'sholem, you know, endanger my own life in the process. But if I do nothing, you're for sure going to die. Am I mechuyif to or not? So that's a big question. So we, most poskim, assume that I'm not mechuyif to do that. I'm not mechuyif to risk my life. Then it becomes a very, very dachistical question. What's called risk? You know, how much of a risk are you allowed to take? This is part of the issue of, you know, originally when kidneys, the whole kidney transplants started. So this was a hot topic. Because originally there was concerns that maybe, I mean, there's always risk in everything, especially a serious surgery is always a risk. So the question was that risk sufficient risk for a person to say that maybe you're not supposed to be risking your life in order to save somebody else's life? So the general consensus has been, as the medicine, as the technology has developed, is that the risk to the donor is usually, I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's insignificant enough al pi halacha to warrant it, to justify, and to even to encourage those who are able to do so. So that's a wonderful, wonderful mitzvah. But if you would have other kinds of procedures that are not as clear as that, if you have a procedure that really would be risky, significantly risky to the donor, so that would be part of the shaila. How much am I mechuyif to risk my life in order to save somebody else's life? But Rabbi Akiva wasn't even talking about that. Rabbi Akiva was talking about the mamash, give up my life. That I'm not mechuyif to do. The end of the story, we have a major machlokes yataiz in the Rambam about how to understand mechazes. Is mechazes just a recipe for shevel taas? So does mechazes mean that the whole din of chaybim doesn't impact on the iser of ritzicha? And even though Tosis brought a raya from the Gemara about Yerva Yava by Esther, there are other answers to other ways to refute that raya. Even though Tosis depicted that illustration of falling, throwing the person off the cliff onto the baby, so the Rambam could agree to Tosis' din, but would not be time with Tosis. Rather, the reason why Tosis' din is probably true anyway, because the person is not a gav or a tzech, he's just simply playing the role of a chetz at the time.
And Rabbi, this is all if the other person's a Jew, or even if he's a guy, the person that's going
to
get killed.
Yeah, so we'll have to discuss some of the nuances of the Yisr Ritzich a little bit off. Okay? All right? So this din of Mechazis, there is a big question, just how far Mechazis does or does not go. And a lot of this discussion revolves around a little bit of a cryptic Rishalmi, Shaila, what exactly the Maskana Sadvarim of the Rishalmi is, and what conclusion we should draw from it. So the Rabbi Menuchas said the Atayra quotes the following din. He talks about the following scenario. What if Goyim come and they surround the city, and they say, you have two choices. Either hand us over somebody, and that person who they ask to hand over is an innocent fellow. Hand us over one of yours, and we're going to kill him, and we'll leave the rest of the city alone. And if you don't cooperate with us, so we're going to kill the entire city. What do you do? So unfortunately, this was not just an academic question in the Rishalmi. This was Maisim, I don't say B'chol Yom literally, but this happened many, many times throughout our history. So what's the din? Are we allowed to be Maisim Nefesh Achas L'Yisrael? So what's the din? Are you allowed to be Maisim Nefesh Achas L'Yisrael to save the entire city? So the Rambam writes, no. The Rambam writes that Yamusa Kulam V'Yamosu Nefesh Achas L'Yisrael. You're not allowed to hand over anybody. What's Pshat? So, l'chora, the nature, the din that the Rambam is saying is because by handing over the Nefesh Achas B'Yisrael, you're violating Ritzicha. You're violating, you know why they want. They're going to kill the Jew. You know they're going to kill the Jew. So that's also called Ritzicha. Well, it's not Ritzicha B'Yadayim, but it's Gram Ritzicha. So the same way the Rambam writes, that if you take a person and tie him up and put him in front of a lion, so that's called the Gram Ritzicha. So too, if you take a Jew and hand him over to a Goy, you know the Goy's going to kill him. So that's also called Gram Ritzicha. So Gram Ritzicha is like, Lo Sirtzach. You're not Chayim Misifir, but it's Lo Sirtzach. And therefore, Yehoi V'Yavah, what can I do? I can't hand them over. That's one way of understanding this din. One could argue that even if you hold that handing over the Jew to the Goy is not even Gram Ritzicha, it's almost like a Grom de Grom, it's almost like a little bit more far removed than that. So one could still argue that I still don't have a right. I don't have a right to, I have no right to give away another Jew. Shevatasa, I can't do anything. So the Ma'aseh of the Rambam writes that you're not allowed to hand over the other Jew. You're not allowed to hand over a Jew to the Goyim, even though the consequence is going to be that everyone's going to get killed. So on the side of the Rambam, Rav Moshe Kohen, one of the Rishonim, lived in Provence, in southern France, where Moshe Kohen, the Ramach, has a kash in the Rambam. He says, he doesn't understand. The Rambam got it from Rishalmi. So the Ramach says, I don't understand this din. He said, how can this din be true? He says, the Gemara says that the reason why Shvichus Dom is Yarva Yavor is because of Mechazis. It means you can't make a calculation. How do you know whose life is whose blood is redder than the other? Says the Ramach, do the math. He had 100 guys versus one guy. Isn't it better to keep 100 people alive than to keep one person alive? So if you go with the pure din of Mechazis, so then, fuck it. We should give over the one person. Nebuch, it's terrible, it's a tragedy. But by doing so, we'll save the other 99 people. So isn't that common sense? Doesn't logic dictate that if Mechazis is the engine that's driving the din, that you don't hand over a person to be killed, that's when it's a one-on-one. So I understand I can't hand over one person to save one person, but to hand over one to save 100 people, like, why not? So the Ramach says he thinks the Rambam's din is not correct. He thinks that the din would be taka, that it's the correct thing to do. You hand over the person because it's better to save 100 people and to sacrifice one person. That's what the Ramach says. So what's behind the Rambam? It's not a big bella. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that maybe the Rambam understood as follows. Maybe the Rambam understood that it's true the Gemara says mechazes. That's true. But as we've said this many, many times, you have to always be careful when the Gemara gives a reason for something. Is the Gemara giving the absolute halachic reason for it? Or is the Gemara giving a little bit more of a drush reason, a little bit more of a, you know, certain? Did we just talk about this? What did we have this yesterday, no? What did we just talk about this? I forgot what we talked about.
Yeah, the
drushing part.
It wasn't
Kalachos. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. just 24 hours ago, less than 24 hours ago, to the Sish Ram we were talking about, that he gives a whole fancy, fancy drasha. We're not sure. So the Rishayim Taitis understood it's a din, and we suggest maybe it's just Psalm Musa or the Rechizak. So to over here, the Kesef Mishnah says, when the Gemara says, by Chazis, the Gemara is just trying to give you a reason that makes sense, that's an Nishma La'alaizen, people could understand it, it's a good drasha, it teaches us about the significance of life, it makes us respect other people's lives as well. But that's the reason why we're basing all of halacha, we're telling you to give up your life because of a svara. So the Gesemisha says, Mistame was halacha mashem sinai. Mistame was a din that was yadua pia kabbalah. Chazal had a kabbalah for that, a misari, that a tradition for it. We know 100%, we know what the din is, that shvichas dam is not nitan l'dechia. The Gemara just gave a nice reason. Now, does the reason always apply? No. Does it apply 95% of the time? Yeah. So we gave the reason. So even once in a while, the reason doesn't apply. The din stands on its own merits. So now, all of a sudden, we have machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramach about just how seriously we take the din of Maichazus. Reb Chaim spent a whole Shul Torah in the Sefer to try to figure out what Maichazus means, and he developed the machlokes in the Rambam. Is it Tazoy? Is it Tazoy? Comes the Kesef Mishnah and says, it's Nish Tazoy, Nish Tazoy. It doesn't exist. It's nothing. It's a drush. It's a nice thing for Shal Shadus Torah, but it's not a real halachish year. And therefore, the din is that it's Yahar V'Yavar, even if Maichazus doesn't apply. So that's a whole another approach to the sugya. So that would be a major, major machloikis between the Rambam and Rav Moshe Kohen. This machloikis between the Rambam and Rav Moshe Kohen can now set the stage for other potential shilas, where let's say somebody comes and says, either you kill this person or I'm going to kill you, and it's very clear that my blood is redder than the others. Why? Because I'm smarter, because I'm richer. No. What makes my blood redder? Api alocha, my blood is redder. Why is my blood redder than the other person's blood? So what if the other person is a type of person who, even if I would kill him, be a dime, it wouldn't be chaimisa for? Let's say, for example, the other person's a treifa. The other person has some kind of an internal issue that he's going to die very soon anyway. So we're not advocating killing such a person. We never permit such a thing. And it's you'd be over ritzicha, possibly, for doing that. But even if a horigus, a treifa, is in violation of lo sirtzach, but his blood is clearly not as red as mine, because if I kill him, I'm not chayamisa. Hargis teref is not chayamisa. So in the scheme of things, my blood is halachically redder than his. Not because I'm richer than him, smarter than him, because halachically my blood is redder than his. So if you hold like the Ramach, who took this reason of my chazis, mamish literal, and every single time you have a shayla of Yehar v'yav by Ritzich, you have to ask yourself, whose blood is redder? And 99% of the time you can't answer that question, but every once in a while you can. And if and when you can answer the question, then you better answer the question. And then don't kill the din, you're allowed to kill the person. But according to the Rambam, the din is that Ritzicha is not nitan, l'dchia, finish, end of discussion. For Chaim's reason, other reasons, Al Chumasid, whatever you want to call it, it's not even Mechazis. The Ritzicha is not from the parish of Echaibahem. It was never nitan l'dchia. So if killing a treifa is Ritzicha, so it's all Zayin. That's the din. You can't kill the treifa. Well, let's say another example. What about Hargis Uber? I'll throw back to some of the sugis we learned in the past. So Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam, is abortion called Ritzicha na? If a Rashi sheet is correct, that it's not even called Ritzicha altogether, Pasha, so then that's a moot question. Of course, you wouldn't say Harba Yavar on it. But if it's not outright Ritzicha, if it is outright Ritzicha, and now it's a question of Yehar Val Yavor, not a case of Roydev. When the baby's a Roydev, that's a different parasha, that's a different story. But no one's Roydev anybody. The baby's behaving very nicely, the mother's, everyone's good, everyone's healthy. A goy comes and says, if you don't kill this Uber, I'm going to kill you. So wait a second, the Uber's not being a bad guy, the Uber's not being rid of anybody. So the guy gives me a choice, either I'm going to kill you or I'm going to kill the Uber. So if you hold like Rashi, for sure, you kill the Uber. But if you hold like the Rambam, that it's Ritzicha to kill the Uber, wait a second, is that my Chazus or not my Chazus? Depends how seriously you take my Chazus. So if you believe like the Ramach, that my Chazus carries the day, and when cases occur that my Chazus doesn't apply to, like the case of the 100 people versus the one person, so then you taka. Do save your life at the expense of others. So to over here, my blood against his blood. My blood's much redder than his blood. Haraya. For me, someone's Chaim Mises Bezin, they kill me. I killed him, but I'm not Chaim Mises Bezin. So even though I'm going to violate the Yisra of Ritzicha, but my blood is redder than his, halachically. But if you hold like the Rambam, like the Kesemisha Sein B'Dasa Rambam, that my chaz is not really the question. The real question is, are you violating Ritzicha? That's what really matters. So if the Rambam, Hilchos Ritzeach, writes for Ferris, that's called Ritzicha. So if you put two and two together, if it's called Ritzicha, so then Ritzicha is not Nidal Adachia, so the game's over. So you would have to die rather than perform an abortion. So if you combine that Rambam Hilchos Ritzeach with this Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam Hilchos Sedia Torah will be outwilded. That if somebody says to you, either you perform an abortion, I'm going to kill you. So the Rambam may very well say, I can't do it. Sorry. That's called an act of Ritzicha. And the only Ma'at of Ritzicha is Redif. The baby's not being Redif anymore. The baby's perfectly behaving very well. He's not causing anyone's danger to their life. It's something Ben Achutz. I would have to give up my life. That would be wild, wild, wild Shaila. So again, so a lot of this discussion all revolves around what exactly is going on in this Sukkah Mechazis. So the Gemara says the words Mechazis. Even if you take the words Mechazis seriously, we're not sure what it means. We're not sure whether Tosfos' version is right, whether Rambam's, Reb Chaim's version is right. We're not even sure now whether Mechazis is even the issue we should be spending. Maybe it's the wrong sugya. Maybe we shouldn't even be talking about the chazis. It's just a shal shudas drasha. So we're not sure about a lot of things. So a lot of the discussion we have all revolves around the parameters of what my chazis is all about.
But according to
what
the Rambam is saying, he wasn't saying 99 versus 1. He was saying it would be 100 versus 1. Like, the guy's going to die a lot.
Right, the guy's going to die also, right. Right.
Not a shibo.
No, but that's also a shibo, because the Ramach, I think the Ramach ultimately would say the same 99 to 1. I think he would. Yeah.
No, but I think
he's saying only because he's going to die anyway. I don't know. I have to look at the Ramach carefully. I don't know. I mean, the case the Rambam gives is that case, but the Ramach Svara is that when there are objective ways to measure, so then you're allowed to measure. Just that there's no way anyone could ever say. The criteria that we would use to say Reuven is more important than Shimon, what do you say? He's smarter, he's richer, he's a bigger type of Chavim. Those are not criteria that the Torah accepts. But if it's 2 to 1, so those are objective criteria, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, all right. We'll stop here, guys.
Next period question.
Yeah.
Is it just like, for example, like